Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. The first day of the third test is complete and eureka, no interruptions. And in fact, the day ended about 3 or 4 minutes earlier than 6:30. So the players managed to get all 90 overs in before the kind of 6:30 cut-off. Remarkable, no delays for bad light. But it, funnily enough, it wasn't the easiest day weather-wise to play cricket, was it?
Well, an extraordinary day, really. As you say, we finished early. Absolutely incredible. Let's start with a couple of questions. Is it easier to play in the wind or in bad light? And why are there so few tall, top-class batsmen? And, of course, we saw today, Zach Crawley, 6'5", make his maiden Test match 100, his fourth 100 only in his first-class career. And poor old Pakistan, they had to play in a howling gale. Really difficult to play sport when it's that windy. So is it better? Would you rather play in bad light or in a howling gale, Yoz?
Well, there's no debate about it. I'd much rather play in bad light. And anyway, I don't think bad light is an issue. I think the players and umpires make far more of it than there actually is anyway. But wind, oh, God, it's just horrible. And, you know, It's funny, but you'd think that it's more destabilising for bowlers. And yes, it is, because, you know, a bowler gets sort of blown off his run-up and you have to sort of start again. And all it totally changes where you're aiming the ball as well, especially if you've got a crosswind, because suddenly the ball is taken completely away from the direction you were aiming at it at. Or the alternative is you're running into the wind as well. You never, if you're me anyway, you never get the choice of ends and downwind. So it's always into the wind. So that from all points of view for bowlers, it's pretty horrible. But actually, I think batsmen are affected by it quite significantly as well. If it's that gusty like it was today, it can really quite disrupt your stance at the wicket. And, you know, you could sort of hear the wind sort of gusting past, and it is very off-putting.
And yet, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Zach Crawley, managed to stay upright all day and score 171. He actually batted superbly. I mean, he's really quite easy on the eyes, isn't he? I mean, he came in relatively early when Burns was out. Again, another low score for Rory Burns. I thought he actually got quite a good ball, but I mean, as Geoffrey always says, as a top-class batsman, you need to learn to not get out to the good balls and then punish the bad balls. Anyway, that's another matter. But Zach Crawley, he played so many crisp shots, and what is a great feature of his play, of course, is he's good on the front foot and the back foot. And, you know, I think there's a general feeling that you really, to be a top-class test player, a decent test player, you have to be able to play off the back foot.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. And, you know, when you talk about tall players and how many tall batsmen, successful batsmen, have there been? And there haven't been that many, and we'll examine why in a minute. But certainly you think of a tall batsman as probably going to be dominant on the front foot because they've got a big stride. And I remember bowling quite a lot at Graham Hick, not very successfully, and he had such a big stride. It felt like a huge sort of giant coming towards you, and you couldn't see anything but the front foot and this massive bat coming through. And they're able to drive balls, those tall players, that a lot of shorter players can't, because they can get closer to the pitch. And they're very hard to contain, those sort of tall players, if they're good at getting forward. But oddly, quite a lot of tall batsmen, and I'm thinking someone like Tom Moody, for instance, who was excessively tall, actually, you quite fancied bowling at him because he didn't use his front foot, he didn't use his reach at all, and therefore he actually was quite easy to contain. But the interesting thing about Crawley is he does use his reach, not probably quite as much as he might do. He doesn't really take a big stride, but he's got a good reach, clearly, to be able to drive the ball. And there's some of those off drives were lovely shots. But he's good off the back foot, as you pointed out. And you very rarely get a tall player who's good at both, partly because, perhaps, they're not very mobile. Because they're a bigger frame, therefore, they're not very nimble at the crease.
Yeah, I remember going back in time now. I remember, you know, Michael Holding sort of pinning Tony Gregg in 1976 at the Oval. You know, bowling the ball right, you know, full. It almost seemed impossible for Gregg to get the bat down in time. I mean, Tony was what, 6'6", something like that. You know, very tall. You know, what about tall players? What about tall, successful players? I mean, I suppose the other thing is you think about a lot of the top-class players, you know, they're relatively short, aren't they? You think of Tendulkar, you think of Kohli, you think of, you know, Root and Williamson and Barbara Zam, you know, the modern top-class players. But then you go back a bit, you know, the likes of, you know, Brian Lara, you think of Viv Richards, and Viv was an imposing, physically imposing character, but he wasn't massively tall. You know, so all the real top-class players, there are of a certain height. What about the really tall players I was thinking about, you know, who've been successful? Kevin Peterson is quite tall, I suppose.
Yeah, he was. I think he's taller than people realise, actually. I once did a little video of, you know, couldn't think of anything better to do than this particular day. It was the day after Peterson got a double 100 at Adelaide in the Ashes. And there's a statue outside the ground of Donald Bradman playing a sort of forward defensive or a forward drive or something. And I did a piece about Peterson showing how much further he could reach than a Bradman, sort of standing parallel to the statue of this shot playing forward, and then kind of mimicking where Peterson could get to. You know, Peterson could get, because he was a front foot player and he liked taking that stride down the pitch, didn't he? He could reach, you know, about a yard or more further down the pitch than a Bradman or a Ponting or somebody like that. And it just gives you so much more scope to drive balls, place balls, whip balls. It just totally disrupt a bowler's length. So it is slightly surprising that there haven't been more tall players. But I think in the past, most of them have been not very good at playing the short ball. And in fact, even Peterson wasn't that good. I mean, he was so good in other ways that he sort of got away with it. But I remember Morley Morkel giving him a bit of a going over once and him not looking too good when the bowling was really quick and short. And certainly that was the case with somebody like Graham Hick. You know, the standout tallest players would be, well, Peterson and I suppose Matthew Hayden, who was intimidating, was a sort of incredible hulk at the wicket. He was probably 6'4" and about the same width, and he largely was a front foot player, but he was also very good on the hook and the pull.
I can tell you that Matthew Hayden is 1.88 metres tall.
Right. What does that...
I knew you were going to say that. Let me work it out while we keep talking. You know, Clive Lloyd, he was a tall...
devastating player.
Yeah, fantastic player. He was tall. But, you know, they're more outliers, aren't they? And the really top class, the greats, if you like, are, you know, in that certain height bracket.
Mm. Yeah, and it's because batting needs to you need to be nimble in the main. You know, lots of sort of top batsmen talk about dancing at the crease and, you know, being light on your feet. And almost by definition, tall players, really tall players, are usually quite sort of heavy footed and tend to plant their feet and then get stuck and can't get. I mean, you know, Graham Hitt got really afflicted with that. He took a big stride, hit the ball on the up superbly, but as soon as Curtly Ambrose got in his sights, bowled short of a length to him into the ribs and, you know, at a good high pace, he didn't really know how to respond to it. Perhaps he was a bit timid as well as a character. It wasn't only about technique. But, you know, generally, batting, you think of Brian Lara, you think of Sachin Tendulkar, you think of Ponting, even A.B. de Villiers is another
one. Javed Mayandad.
Javed Mayandad, exactly. Mm. You know, these guys have just got so much sort of flexibility and dynamism at the crease. Steve Smith. Not that tall, is he? Mm. You know, just moves around so fluidly. And batting is about movement and being dynamic at the crease. Joe Root is another one.
1.88 metres equates. You'll be quite slightly surprised at this, actually, Oz. Matthew Hayden's height, just under 6'2". Right. I think it's more yeah. the sort of the size of his shoulders.
Maybe.
You mentioned how sort of wide he looks. It perhaps gives him that sense of being imposing. Of course, it was the way he played as well. On Zach Crawley, how many test hundreds do you think Zach Crawley is capable of making? His first test hundred today at the age of 22, as mentioned earlier, only four first-class hundreds in his career. Yeah, obviously, it depends on all sorts of factors, but what sort of potential do you think he has?
That's a good question. I don't think he's going to be a great. I think Ollie Pope could be. Because he just got that more, there's a greater repertoire. I think that Crawley, if I was a bowler, I'd be thinking, I quite fancy bowling at him. He doesn't really quite transfer his weight onto the front foot. And it's a good pitch today. Bowlers maybe were not getting that much out of it and it wasn't doing a whole lot. So and he exploited it brilliantly. And he played some lovely shots off back and front. He, funnily enough, reminded me a bit of John Crawley, some of his shots, clips through leg side, off drives. But I sort of feel there is a bit of vulnerability there still. I don't feel he's a guy who's going to get 20 test hundreds like a Graham Gooch or somebody like that or a Michael Vaughan. I think he's in the 10 to 12 test hundred bracket. What about you?
Yeah, well, I think that's a reasonable shout. And I think what's fascinating is when you see a young player, you always wonder about their potential, don't you? And then you can have a chance to look back, 10 years later after they played their career. For example, we can be so wrong. I can remember watching Graham Thorpe on an England A tour, and I thought I can't see what it is about Graham Thorpe that everyone is raving about. And you know, he obviously turned into a high class player. And I actually saw him play. Two of the best innings I think I've ever seen for England, one in the Caribbean and one at Trent Bridge on the chase against New Zealand from memory. So you can be confounded. This game confounds us all, and you know, there obviously I might also say I'm not a very good judge, but you know, so it's great to sort of speculate. And I agree with you. Ollie Pope looks to have a bit more about him than Zach Crawley, but you know, England have got two potentially, fine young players there, and over time it will be really enjoyable to watch them, as it indeed will be to watch Ben Stokes's career pan out as it goes on, as it develops even more.
Not long after the day's play finished, Zach Crawley was straight into the Big Brother chair to give us his thoughts. Actually, so let's hear from him.
I was on 99 with one ball left, and I didn't want to have to wait over on 99, so I was pretty determined to play a shot at that ball, and then. To find the gap and to run to and then come back, and now I got my first test 100. It was it was all a bit of a blur. I could see the lads up on the balcony, and I was trying to keep it calm, but inside I was absolutely buzzing, and it's great to be out there with Josh. He played brilliantly today, and he was a very calm head for me out there and made it a lot easier for me. Kind of see all the nets that I've done in the past and all the times gone on my own to hit some balls and that, and it just seemed all worth it. I mean, you do question yourself when you're in a run of ducks or run of low scores and you can't buy a run, whether it was worth it, whether you're better off doing something else, but I was lucky. It just seemed, it was kind of a feeling that it was all worth it. And that was a great feeling.
Who drops out then? Zach Crawley is in this England side at number three, Root back at four. Who drops out when Ben Stokes comes back? Presumably one of the bowlers. But it's an interesting one if Stokes, you know, weren't fit to bowl, what England would do. I mean, it would have to be one of the bowlers, wouldn't it? Because Stokes would come back as, you know, one of the four pace bowlers, or perhaps even one of five. You know, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility. With England so thin in the spin department in future Test matches, as they did in Johannesburg, where they played, they said, well, we don't need spin here, we're just going to play five quick bowlers. So, that, you know, that's a possibility as well. But, you know, presumably one of the bowlers is going to have to drop out when Ben Stokes comes back into the side.
Well, it's not going to be until January at the earliest, by which time he will be obviously back to full fitness, one hopes. Yeah. And although he would probably have played in the IPL between now and then, I think that Stokes' rightful place in the order is for number five anyway. So I think that's fine. You get those two openers, Crawley at three, Root four, Stokes five. Maybe still thinking about Butler at seven, actually. Mm. So, you know, Pote at six, Butler at seven. I quite like the look of that. Butler, another impressive innings by him today. I think he's improving with every innings at the moment. And, you know, great contrast of innings, you know, compared to that run chase he supervised in the last Test match under pressure. Here, relying on his defence, batting 140 balls, one of the longest innings he's played in Test cricket, in sight of his second Test 100. And, you know, everyone thought he'd made the breakthrough when he made that first Test 100 against India, and then nothing much since. Well, now he looks like he's really got it together. He's sorted out a couple of little technical things. He looks assured at the crease, but then still seems to have got a better sense of when to just cut loose or when to express himself a bit. Two massive straight sixes off Yasir Shah almost came out of the blue, but then he went back into playing a composed innings again. So, you know, a really impressive performance by him, even though Crawley dominated that fifth wicket stand. And, you know, suddenly, well, apart from Rory Burns failing a little bit, the batting order looks really quite good again.
Yeah.
And that's without Stokes.
Yeah, what about the top of the order? Burns has had a lean time of it, and you have that feeling when you watch him bat that, you know, if he's out of nick, it looks even worse in a way, because of the way he plays, that right leg sort of sliding right across and then being dragged back again.
He's had this classic mini kind of crisis that occurs with every batsman, where they get out LBW a couple of times. So they're thinking, oh dear, you know, I'm planting my foot a bit too early. I'm getting across too far. My head's going over too far. I need to just sort of pause and hold my weight back a little bit and not commit myself so early. So now they get caught slip instead because they're not getting over enough. So it's a classic issue that batsmen all face. It's just that issue of alignment. And if you don't get out one way, you get out the other way. And how do you... You know, he's now got to go back to, well, I need to get across a bit more to cover my stumps, otherwise I'm going to get caught edging again. He's going through that horrible patch where you sort of start to doubt yourself and you don't really know which way to turn. He's had a couple of good balls. You have to give bowlers that occasionally, as Joe Root would have done today, because the ball he got was unplayable.
Yeah, it was absolute beauty, wasn't it, from... Nassim Shah, fine delivery, and Root was in the perfect position to play it, but it just nipped fractionally, and he was committed to the shot, and it took the outside edge. It was a lovely delivery, an absolute bowler's dream. Having said that, overall today, I just thought Pakistan, they became very flat quite quickly. Really, they were in the game. They did play really well actually. Zach Crawley and Josh Butler, and they were aggressive. I think it was the first time really this summer I felt that the bat was on top of the ball in that sort of second half of the day. It hasn't happened very often this summer. Okay, it did when England were in, you know, the latter part of that chase at Old Trafford, when they, you know, they just went for it and it came off. But you know, just on it in sort of like normal cricket, if you like, I thought, well, the first time this summer, in sort of general run of the game, that the batsmen were were dominating today. I thought it was a really good toss to win as well for the first time this summer. And, you know, Pakistan now, I mean, they're in a really difficult situation in this match and in the series, really. I think there's a general feeling that this pitch is going to become problematical to bat on the longer the game goes on. We've seen that quite a bit this summer, up and down a bit, it might spin. You know, Don Best might get in the game, you know, on the fourth, fifth day. So that, you know, they really are in a tough position. It's been about as bad a day for Pakistan, I think, as they possibly could have had today. Okay, you could have been 350 for two, but 332 for four. They're going to need something pretty dramatic to happen in the morning, and then they're going to have to bat with a great deal of resolution against, you know, this pretty tough England four-man pace attack.
I don't understand the selection policies of the Pakistanis, I must say. And I know that, you know, one player isn't necessarily going to make all the difference. But the guy that played in that first test was the guy that really got the Pakistan innings going, Shadab Khan. Came in at number six or seven and really just put the wind up England. And there was a bit of chaos and there were some quick singles and a few aggressive shots. And suddenly he got their innings back on track. And he was also handy with the ball, and he's a brilliant fielder, and he's just a live wire. Well, they replaced him with a number six who looks like a passenger. And, you can't just change a total match with one different player, but I don't understand that. And as a result, they relied a lot on Yasir Shah today, who I feel actually just probably bowls a bit too much. On the first
28
day,
overs.
Yeah, a lot of overs, 100 runs conceded. I mean, England playing very well, but apart from Pope. But, you know, it just overexposed him. He's going to be needed later in the game to bowl a lot more overs. You know, if they'd had Shadab Khan there as a fifth bowler, he might have just nicked a wicket somewhere, and he would certainly have lifted them in the field. So while that, you know, may not have changed the situation, and of course the other thing is, The Pakistan losing that first test, which they should have won, and then the second test largely meaningless. It's the psychological swing has been quite significant. And England, though they did lose those four early-ish wickets, you know, Butler and Wokes, that excellent partnership to win that first test, will have given England a bit more confidence and, you know, belief in themselves lower down the order, and which they, you know, they proved they've got. A more depth they proved today and utilised it well.
Well, yeah, having said that Shadab Khan should have played in this test match, a Fawad Alam 100 tomorrow or some later in this game. I mean, he's the man with this extraordinary technique as well, with, you know, two eyes looking down the pitch and, you know, both feet, looking sort of out towards square leg, this really open stance. So, you know, that was going to be under scrutiny when Pakistan get their chance to bat. It's going to be hard for them, though, you think. The weather forecast is quite good for the next couple of days. And also the other thing about windy weather, very windy weather, it tends to dry conditions out very quickly as well. So, this pitch might dry out even more. So, hard for Pakistan. England look to be well on course, I would say, to not just winning the match, but winning the series. But cricket, you know, cricket can change round. As I say, it can confound us all, as indeed that first test match did on the final day of the game at Old Trafford.
OK, well, that's it. Hope the weather is a little better, a little fairer, perhaps, to both teams tomorrow, and that Pakistan can find a way to maybe trim a few wickets, because they've put so much into this summer with their efforts to be over here and play some entertaining cricket. So we look forward to tomorrow. Don't forget the last hour show, thecricketer.com, is, again, we'll be running that tomorrow with David Gower, starting at 5:30. We had a few technical issues today. If you heard those, I apologise. They'll be improved tomorrow, when we've also got Angus Fraser and Dean Headley on the show from 5:30 at thecricketer.com. So look forward to either speaking to you then or after play tomorrow on the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.